This is Iconic.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and what we're doing now is this episode is part of a three-part episode we did for our patrons, a live episode on Giants. And so if you want, if you're a member of the patronage, you can go check this out on YouTube, where you can watch the video of Mark and Nick and I talking about Giants. Now, there are Giants, yep. Just to kind of talk about all of 13th Age, there are Giants in Glorantha, and per usual, Giants in Glorantha are strange and different creatures. The main one that I think of, so Giants have a very brutish kind of look in 13th Age, but the true Giants, like Gon Orta, is they just keep growing. They're very intelligent. They're very massive. When you actually get to meet Gon Orta in, I want to say it's not Borderlands, Griffin Mountain. He is, like, you are at first confused. Do I have to enter the mountain to meet the giant, or is the giant the mountain? He's that just massive. And so, like many things in Glorantha, they just kind of dial them up to 14 and throw them out into the weirdness of the world.
So in Glorantha, because you're our expert, are they immortal? Are they long-lived?
They are very, very long-lived. Let me just see. I don't know if true giants are... they are immortal, but they are slowly dying out. They're the oldest of the giants. They are on par with dragons, even in Glorantha, but, you know, they both have... It's also interesting to me in Glorantha, they both have this... They've slowly transmuted into landscape. Right, Dragon Pass is the bodies of the true dragons that have, you know, the mountains built on top, you know, the accreted dirt and rock on top of them, and then you have Gon Orta, who is kind of turning into a mountain himself. So, yeah.
Now I know that like magic and such works differently for giants in Glorantha, you know, because they're tied so closely with the Disorder Rune. That magic or magical effects just doesn't have quite the same impact on them as they do other creatures. Does that play over into other F20 worlds as well? This idea that magic doesn't impact them quite as much as you might expect it would?
Mark, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't remember from the original.
Here, hold on. Let me go get my monstrous compendium.
Well, one thing, the old versions used, you made your saves, so they're con very high. So any kind of poison.
Sorry to everyone who's listening on the podcast and hears that rolling.
Yeah. Wouldn't generally work. I don't remember. In fact, against the giants, the very first encounter with a hill giant, the druid at the time used a very powerful polymorph spell. Turned it into a fish, and the group just watched it die. So I was like, well, that was a very easy XP encounter. They didn't have to do anything. Luckily, he didn't have many of those. I had to make my save, which I failed, but yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to me
like
there's...
High-level druid.
There are one or two monsters, at least in AD&D, that have... Or one or two giants that have magic resistance. For the most part, they don't.
It'd be like the storm and fire type?
No, it's actually the firbolgs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just a whole other type of giant we could get into. But
yeah, I was gonna say there's so many different giant variants, you know, or divergences from the giants. You mentioned the Cyclops, the Ents, the half giants, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is they're one of the larger groupings of monsters in F20 games, right? You have I would actually say that, again, kind of putting them up there with dragons, right? With dragons, you have the metallics, you have the chromatics, you have the gemstone, you have all of the draconic related, they're not true dragons, but they've got like
kinship ties to the dragons. You have the same sort of setup with giants. There is just this very broad, again, hierarchy of true giants. And then you kind of step out that and you have, you know, giant kin and pseudo giants. And it's always been interesting to me that these two creatures have so many entries in any bestiary or monster manual, and they're so high up, right? It sometimes feels like they were always sort of meant to be the end game of Dungeons and Dragons, that like dragons and giants are those things that you will face at the end of your career. Well, let's take a quick look at some 13th age giants. We're going to look at the core rule book and at Bestiary 1. Hill giants don't really have a whole lot going on for them. They are, as Nick pointed out, sort of brutish and dumb. I do like their nastier special that they deal double damage against staggered targets. Yeah. I would use Big Bully all the time, but that should come as no surprise to you guys that I will always use the nastier specials. As you guys are kind of looking there, what stands out? Aside from the fact that most of these guys are large and they start at sixth level and go up from there, with the Storm Giant being huge. As you're looking at this, especially you, Nick, because this is sort of your first pass at giants, what stands out as some cool mechanical things that 13th Age is using to kind of reinforce this? They are large, they're in charge, and they're scary.
Well, some of it just comes down to the vernacular, right? Things like Massive Strike, Flaming Greatsword, Throne Boulders, Stomp. Some of those words for the attacks just again is reinforcing this idea that these are big creatures. I'm looking at the stats and they all have a pretty high AC. And I know that these are again for a champion epic tier, but even still, it's going to be a challenge to actually deal any damage with them.
You look at the Stone Giant and they have resist weapons 16 plus.
Right. Yeah. These are the types of battles that could very easily get drawn out for a period of time. Maybe you could finally get to see that escalation die turn to number six, because that doesn't happen all that frequently.
Did you see the, I love the Frost Giant's ability where basically it's cold permeates the area. What is it? Ancient cold. When battling one or more frost giants, there's only a 50% chance the escalation die increases every round. That's brutal.
Yep. And the other thing is that kind of like their secondary attacks, not all of them, but a lot of them target PD. It's like, okay, your champion tier, your AC's high. Typically, your PDs are a lot lower, especially if you've got magic armor on it. You know, large ice ball versus PD, stomp versus PD. I don't need to hit your AC, I just need to step on you. So it's going to be a lot easier, not that they have very low two hit bonuses, but yeah, they can be quite deadly if you get in close.
And the Fire Giants are, again, some of those few monsters that have the ability to add the escalation die to their attacks when they are attacking the ones who are also taking ongoing fire damage. So it's like you get hit by... you hit by once, and that's bad enough, but then it's going to be that much easier to get hit again and again and again.
Yeah. Mark, what do you like about the Giants here in 13th Age?
Oh, I just... All the Nastier Specials, like you say, I don't know why they say Nastier Specials, it should be standard. If you're fighting a big Fire Giant Warlord, unquenchable fires, this should just be normal. They exude heat and flame, and you should become their ally quickly. I'm here to worship you. Don't kill me.
Now, if you guys are liking Giants, if you're listening to this on the podcast or watching this on YouTube, check out Bestiary 1 and 2. They expand out in Bestiary 1, the Frost Giants. They give a little Frost Giant society, and then they add... I really like the Frost Giants in Bestiary 1. The Berg Ship Raider, first of all, the fact that Frost Giants use icebergs as ships is spectacular. But even the, you know, like the Ice Sorceress, the Frost Giant Adventurer, the Auroch, the Jotun Auroch is, they're all just great. The fact that the Jotun Auroch is a huge sixth level mook. You could just throw a herd. You could throw a herd of these things at people. You know, Overlarge Club, on a natural even hit, you lose your next move action. Blood of Niflheim, the fact that if you score a critical hit against the giant, you now are hampered because the blood sort of freezes around you. Any thoughts on any of these giants here in Bestiary 1?
Well, one of the things that I appreciated about this section, the expansion on the Frost Giants in Bestiary 1 was that it added more of a depth to the giant culture. You know, it wasn't just these are mindless brutes going around flinging boulders at each other. Like, no, they have their own pecking order, they have their own society, they have their own culture, and that opens the door in gameplay to be able to, you know, use them to greater degrees than just a monster you got to go and kill. You know, there's suddenly, maybe there's an alignment of desires or an alignments of opposition. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Maybe you could actually ally yourselves with the giants to go do something in this regard, or leverage them in some way.
Yeah.
But the lore was something that really stood out to me in the both the Frost Giants in Bestiary 1 and the Fire Giants in Bestiary 2.
What about you, Merc?
Yeah, I mean, originally, Hill Giants, Frost Giants, Fire Giants, evil. Stone Giants were more neutral, so it was a lot easier if you could get their attention and prove yourself worthy that maybe you could ally them or, hey, you know, could you help me against these Frost Giants who are maybe impinging on their territory or something? So they don't all have to be, I mean, traditionally, like I said, the Hill Frost Fires are evil. Maybe you can get the stones to help you. They might not care, but maybe you could get them to help.
Yeah, and I always sort of saw Cloud and Storm Giants as more of the like regal, noble, but aloof giants that you'd really have to work at just to get them to care. But they're not going to write an iceberg down to your village and write it into dust.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the other ones definitely would. So.
So Nick,
I did like one of the comments that they're making about the Ice Sorceress, you know, because as if just having a giant coming after you isn't bad enough, it's a giant who can wield magic as well. The Icy Delusions spell, where at the start of each round, you lose a certain amount of hit points from your initiative as you're slowly freezing from the inside out. I love that little mechanical plug of, you know, you get hit by the spell and you are going to start slowing because you're just kind of getting locked up inside.
Yeah.
And then once you drop to the zero initiative, then you have a choice of either being confused or stunned. And then you get to reroll your initiative and kind of break off that ice inside and get back into it.
Yeah. I love that it gives you the choice. It's either confused, where you have a chance of acting as normal, or you have a chance of attacking an ally, on a 16 plus. So it's a hard save, or you can do a normal save, but you don't get to do anything.
You could even throw in make it a hard save to use the escalation die as you're slowly freezing and you can't do stuff. Is it's there, I won't take it away, but you're gonna have to save to be able to use it because you're slow.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, one
that you can put in.
All right, well, let's jump over to Fire Giants in Bestiary 2. So they added the Forge Wolf, a Holy Warrior, a Smith, and a Priest General, as well as Nick said, there's a ton of great adventure hooks. There's how the giants relate to the icons. There's a great little environmental effect in here. They really expanded out the fire giant options.
Yes, and I kind of, and this goes back to mythology, I think it's perfect to have the fire giants are the ones who taught the dwarves how to forge things. Goes back in mythology with, you know, what, Hephaestus and, you know, just they're the original, and it goes on from there as far as learning that trade, teaching them smelt and such.
Yeah, I like that. I think there's a lot of campaign options to use with this idea. Mechanically, I love the nastier special for the Fire Giant Priest General, Incandescent Holy Blaze. If you bring fire to a Fire Giant fight, you're in trouble, because if you miss, not only is it harder to, like, they have fire resistance 18 plus. So first of all, chances of you doing full damage to a Fire Giant is slim. But if you miss and you're using this nastier special, instead it heals the giant for 5 times your level, which in an on level, I mean, this is an elite large 8th level creature. So it is like 1.5 times like a normal creature of that size. So if you're on level, cool, you missed, give that guy 40 hit points. Yeah, you bring stop four. Throwing fire at it. You're making it better.
Yep.
One of the other abilities that several of these are sharing is fire aura, where if you start your turn, engage with a fire giant, then you're going to take damage equal to the escalation times 5. And if you haven't taken any fire damage since the end of the last turn, if they have not taken any damage since the end of the last turn. And again, that idea that these creatures, they don't just control fire, like they're actually made of fire. Mm-hmm. And if you play with fire, you get too close to fire, you're going to get burned. Mm-hmm. And there's value in popping free. There's value in fighting from a distance. And it's you're going to get burned and singed and hurt if you keep staying too close to them.
So that was the end of the one part of the Giants episode. We will be back in 2 weeks with another part. As always, thanks for listening. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast. Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.